Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. The show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, 1798Part2.org, RepublicReview.org, as well as MobiusStripPress.com. MobiusStripPress.com is where you'll find my books if you want to buy them directly from us, or links to where you could buy the ebooks and or the books via Amazon and or other means. And ReclaimingTheRepublic.org is where you will find a lot of our content regarding Republic Review, regarding the argument for Republic Review, as well as my podcast for this page, or I should say for this show, as well as the podcasts for my local show in Spokane. 1798 Part 2 is kind of in waiting. We need to get it started, but I need to actually get a few more players on the ground to actually start maintaining that. And republicreview.org is actually just controlling that namespace so that when states actually move forward, they can take the ownership of this as a collective effort to provide some level of transparency and information regarding the efforts of what they are doing in getting the federal government back into check. The number to call in is 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP, T-O-P, TALK, T-A-L-K. So today, I think I've got a couple of good citations for you regarding the militia and the paradigm that the framers had regarding the militia. So we're going to kind of dive into, you know, how they saw the importance of having a militia. And I'm going to provide the contrast of where we are today regarding the militia in contrast to how they envisioned and how they felt the militia was to be used and held on to and so forth. So with that, I will get to that a little later because, as you know, I got to let you know, I do have a crowdfunding effort moving forward. It's a campaign on GoFundMe. If you go there and you just search for Reclaiming the Republic, then you can actually find the campaign. Or you can go to reclaimingtherepublic.org right there on the homepage. Just first thing going down, you'll find the GoFundMe campaign. You can click on that. That'll take you straight to the campaign if you'd like to contribute some financing to help us travel, to help us present to good patriots throughout these dark red states. They are kind of isolated and remote, and our intent is to try to put travel, you know, keep travel costs at a very, very minimum. But with that, it does cost money to do that. We need your help in getting the message out. We are working with a lot of other organizations, and actually what I want to do is, I think you'll love this, I want to get a kit that will have a basic laptop that will be loaded with the fundamental accounts necessary in software, so that along with a projector, along with a all the tech that's required, so that we can literally send this kit to a group, to an organization, and all they've got to do is connect this system up, and we can literally feed them or set up a two-way Skype type of presentation, Zoom, or whatever, you know, kind of meeting presentation that we can. That way we can actually do both a presentation as well as a two-way interface, so that those in the audience can, you know, see the presenter, and the presenter can see the audience. And so I think that's the direction we want to go, as well as to try to help save money, because literally we're not trying to, you know, bleed anybody. We understand how tight budgets are. We understand how inflation is killing all of us. So We're doing what we can, and we're moving in a direction to try to do this as smart, using technology as much as possible to win this war. And we need a little bit of help. So if you go there, we would appreciate it and send us some kind of contribution. But I honestly believe that that would be the best way to go. It'd be the best spending of money if we actually set up a kit or have a couple of kits, because this way we can actually go into two different places or three or more as we spend money on these kits. Then we don't necessarily have to go there and be there in person. It's important to be at the important meetings, but to basically give a fundamental presentation and answer fundamental questions as a organization and a group or state is just beginning to dive into this. I would venture to say that you will find this would be a great money saver, plus a great opportunity for people to come out, because a lot of times when you have to travel, they have to ask people, hey, can you contribute or anything else? We want to get this to a point where this is literally a low cost, but effort, so that we don't have to ask people to reach into their pockets or anything like that. With that, let me grovel for a little bit of support. If you can't afford to support the crowdfunding, then I would just ask that if you've got a computer, you've got a little bit of time, you've got a phone, then you can help. And I'd like to convince you in getting involved. If you get involved, there's the proverbial bragging rights to your grandchildren, your great grandchildren, and your family and your heritage. Who knows? You could be a Roger Sherman. You could be a Rufus King. You could be a James Williams. You could be any of those more obscure names that were typically, real contributors as well as real framers during our, during the beginning of this republic. And your name could be a part of that, because this is going to have a large list of patriots, of, if you want to call them, reframers. Actually, we're trying to come up with a name for these people getting involved in this cause, because I know there's lots of patriots out there. And I don't want to just necessarily use the same, patriot. So if you've got an idea, fire me an email. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic. And let me know if there's a really good, like a term for a patriotic guardian or, a messenger or something like that, to where people, we can kind of create a name space or name label for those who are contributing. I kind of like the term reframers, but those may actually be more reserved, and I think it's more applicable to those state legislators who are going to be doing most of the work. But I think it's good to be able to identify people and give them, the credit, and as well as a label, name, or what have you. So if you've got a good idea, let us know. In addition, another way you can get involved is go to the Constitution Club and sign up. There's a lot of different pages. It's a lot of information. It is, you could spend a long time going through a lot of stuff there. So go there, sign up. They're going to be integral in moving the recension of the 17th Amendment out to the states and basically starting the education campaign and getting states to wise up in what they need to do to rescind the 17th Amendment instead of trying to repeal it. We don't have to go down that path. The government opened the door. They did us a big favor, good old Plugs Biden and all the progressives in Delaware said, hey, we don't want to bear the shame of actually rejecting this good progressive amendment. We want to change it. Would you please let us change it? And they did. And when they let one change, they have to let them all change. That's just the way our legal system is. You cannot be one way. The door doesn't just open. And there's no language in the amendment or in the Constitution that says once they do it, they only do it once, or there's a time frame or anything else. It becomes an open, swinging door that swings both ways. So I think that's a great cause to get involved in. That's, like I said, it's something you can share with your family, your children, your grandchildren, and so forth. So please get involved. We need your help. We are reclaiming the Republic, and this is actually a pretty exciting show in the magnitude of what we're talking about and what we can do and how we, you, I, and everyone else listening can have a big impact. I'm sure you're just probably percolating with excitement like I am. And so just keep staying tuned and keep spreading the word, because as this show continues to grow, you are helping as well. You're getting the message out. More and more people are actually saying, you know what? This is really important, because we're actually in a position where we can actually turn this corner. And in the scheme of other conservative entertainers, you'll probably find that even though they may have great wit and they've got great information, they're lacking that one thing that I think everybody's thirsty for. Everybody's thirsty for real, tangible solutions and change. And so with that, I've got less than a minute, just a couple of seconds here. So we will be going into a hard break, and then I'll give you my proverbial look at the news. And so we'll be right back after a word from our promos and sponsors. So thank you so much, and please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. And so, folks, actually, before I dive into the signs in the news and so forth, I actually got a caller, and you're from somewhere in Illinois. I don't have a name here, so what can I help you with? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, we are. This is Mort Thompson, Constitution Club.
Oh, hey, how you doing, Mort?
Good. I'm just listening in on the show and wanted to make sure that I got the whole news from everything and what you're doing and what you're up to. And
okay.
I appreciate what you're doing because it does spread the word out for us.
You bet. You bet. As a matter of fact, you're Mort here, folks, is a primary contributor with the Constitution Club. So I appreciate you tuning in. Definitely, we need to get the word spread out so that more people can start learning about this opportunity that's kind of slipping through our fingers. And I understand. I will let you continue to listen. Thank you for the call, and I will move forward. Again, thanks a lot, Mort.
Thanks a lot.
You bet. All right, folks. So, as I always say when I start this show, before I even, you know, do my prep or anything else and pull up my citations, I kind of look out the window. I look through the news. I look for any sign that the federal government is going to relinquish any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and/or powers that it has assumed from the states and us people. And guess what? There's no sign. Again, there will never be a sign. I'm telling you that, but I have to tell you every day because I do look, because who knows? I know that the Lord can perform miracles, but apparently that miracle hasn't occurred yet. And I am telling you, we cannot wait on a miracle. We absolutely have to move forward. We have to take full 30-inch steps. And that's a term in the Marine Corps. That means we have to put in your full effort. And so we need to start pulling together. We need to put aside our differences. We need to put aside our self-interest and do what it takes to literally take our roles, responsibilities, and powers that should be at the states back from the federal government. And the way to do that is with Republic Review. Something to look forward to. I want you to make sure you tune in next week. From the 17th to the 21st, I am packed with some really good interviews. I will have Mitchell Nicholas Gerber talking about what the heck's going on in China with the live organ harvesting, as well as the social credit scheme that they're rolling out, and how, you know, just how evil the Chinese Communist Party really is. We'll talk about those details, as well as some of the efforts and successes, and hopefully some updates as to what's going on with stopping this live organ harvesting. If you do not understand this, go to Reclaiming the Republic website, reclaimingtherepublic.org. And if you go to the Red State Talk Radio podcast page, just down below all the podcasts, you will find a link to the different videos and information regarding this Chinese live organ harvesting. I'm going to have Aaron Tilbury back on, and he's going to be talking about the child sex trafficking that's going on. And as I tell people, why do you get into these things? Because these people have completely lost their liberty. These children have zero liberty that are being passed around and forced in this sex trafficking. It's the same thing with these political prisoners in China. We have to become an advocate for individual liberty and sovereignty. That is the direction we're going. So one, it's a great marketing scheme if you understand marketing, because if you don't want to live that kind of life, if you don't want to be a slave, then we have to protect our liberty. And there's nothing greater than actually stepping up and really stepping into a battle and trying to preserve and take these folks out of the jaws of slavery and into the, you know, into the openness of liberty, freedom, and sovereignty. I'm also going to have Keith Broders on next week. We're going to be talking about what the Constitution Club is going to be doing in 2019 regarding the 17th Amendment and rescinding it. Also, we're going to be talking to Mark Erbach, who is an educator. He's written a book on Believe. He's out of Georgia. And in addition, we will be talking to Trevor Lawton regarding his latest efforts on The Enemies Within. He's done The Enemies Within. He's doing Enemies Within the Senate, Enemies Within Congress, or I should think the House. And he's also doing a special on Enemies Within the Church. He's a subject matter expert on communism, and I think you will find all of this very, very enlightening. Let me just kind of go over some of the things that, if you haven't signed up for G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News, then you need to. But one of the things that he did was he kind of highlighted some information, and he sends out these emails, and they're really worth getting. But he talks about President Trump meeting with Democratic Congressman Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer in the Oval Office and having cameras streaming the political theater out so that everybody can see what is going on, what's being said, and how they're acting. And he literally played hardball with them in getting funding for the border wall, and he's moving in the direction of shutting down government to get this until they concede to giving him the funding. I think this is great. This is... Again, I'm all about getting the federal government into the scope of what they're supposed to be doing. And technically, they're supposed to be keeping us from an invasion and that type of stuff. Now, I know that Pelosi and Schumer, they want to admit that the Democrats are against the wall, but they actually will lose votes whenever the focus goes on to that. So that's one of the reasons why in the last campaign, they lost in the polls, but even though they won, because they were able to try to keep the narrative off, but there's no doubt in my mind, Trump moving forward is going to be very focused on this for 2020, because it is a winning topic. It is a winning issue for the Republicans, because there's more people that want to actually get a handle on stopping this invasion and getting illegals out and putting, you know, especially the criminals out of here. And so, bottom line, America wants their borders protected. They want our laws enforced. We just want the federal government to do what they're supposed to do. And as we talked about that, that is one of the things that they're supposed to do. I know that we'll probably move forward with Trump shutting down the government, and I think that that's going to be good theater as they banter back and forth. As far as I'm concerned, if they're shutting down the government, that means that they're not spending money that they shouldn't be spending, and you've got to understand, well over 80% of what they're spending money on, they shouldn't be spending money on anyway. So that's not a bad thing. As I've also been talking about, I know I've been kind of pounding and pounding and pounding this whole problem that we have with the education system, these indoctrination centers that are preparing and weaponizing your children to become the generation that throws away our liberties and throws or puts aside our Constitution, all in the name of secular, godless, progressive agendas. And so, as these kids are coming out of school, they are literally voting that way. So they're being weaponized in our school. And to add insult to injury, NBC News is now making a liberal propaganda video news type of products that are going out for Universal Kids on one of their on the NBC Universal channel. And so they also have a channel called Sprout. And they're going to be pumping this propaganda, and this literally is secular propaganda. It is all a hard slant towards the secular progressive biases. They're only promoting Democrats. There is zero mention of the American principles like liberty, sovereignty, freedom, those types of things. It's all about how government is your nanny and how government is going to be the one that's going to save you. Another great organization that you may want to sign up with and getting emails and maybe even support is Judicial Watch. These guys are tenacious in going after bad players, and they actually published a story. And if you would have got this in your emails this week, you would have read that NBC News has been deliberately suppressing information regarding the diseases that are coming up, and they actually put out propaganda that these people are actually helping reduce diseases in America, which is a completely false argument. And one of the things that they, you know, if you're not paying attention, you would never catch the fact that they said, well, with the exception of hepatitis, tuberculosis, and HIV. So in other words, these people are coming up and infecting us with TB, hepatitis, and HIV. And not only that, but a good friend of mine, Douglas Gibbs, his family was affected with the foot and mouth disease, or what they call whooping cough. And so they're bringing those types of diseases forward, diseases that we've pretty much eradicated here in the United States. But it seems like, well, with the progressive agenda and allowing these folks to actually penetrate our borders, they're not only infiltrating us physically, but they're biologically and or with illnesses. They're making an impact and bringing things that are really having an adverse effect on our health and our nation. I'm at a hard break, but when I come back, I will be diving into the Virginia ratification debates as these good men talk about the militia and their perspective on what the militia should be doing and why. I think you'll find it very interesting, so we will be right back after this.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. I will. I've got two other things before I can really dive into the citations. I apologize. I just recognized that there were two other things that I think are really important that I bring up. I'm not sure if you've heard of Letitia James. She's the attorney general who just won in New York. And her goal, she is going to be spending all of the New York taxpayers' money in focusing on going after Trump. Her efforts are going to be focused on literally going after his real estates and everything that is within her jurisdiction. And to quote her, she says, "America is in uncharted territory. We are angrier and more deeply divided than we've ever been at any point in our history since the Civil War." And so apparently, you know, what she's doing is not dividing us. Apparently, she's a unifier in going after the commander in chief, or at least his properties, and trying to spend a lot of money investigating the president of the United States. And I find that a little bit of irony, isn't it? Let me say one more thing. As I told you, I said two things I wanted to bring up. And one of the things that in talking with people before, it seems to me that we really have a problem when we have people that are running for office, and there is plenty of time to do this. We've got candidates that are running for office that would never be able to win their election or that seat because you got to understand, these candidates are going to be exposed to classified material. We have had some of our biggest problems in security leaks and or in letting out information about classified programs, sources, and so forth has been elected officials. There was one point in time where a senator in China was literally loose with his lips and told him about all the different capabilities we had in being able to know what they were doing. And instantly they changed their behavior so that we couldn't learn anymore. That senator should have gone to jail. And so if you're going to file for a federal elections, maybe have these guys file a little sooner. That way there'll be enough time to have at least a fundamental security investigation done on these candidates. That way the voters, if they really want somebody that is going to be harmful and destructive to the Republic, okay, well, that's what you get. But at least I think more voters would want to know whether this person is an enemy of the state and whether they should be running to actually, you know, be a representative and or a political servant. So just an idea to throw out there. I think this is a bare minimum that the FBI should run a fundamental security clearance investigation. I would love to see it be a single scope background investigation where they go all the way back to your 18, 10 years or, you know, whichever is furthest, so that they can identify, you know, all of the people you're associated with. I mean, there have been a lot of people that we would have been saved from having to have them as our president and or other types of servants, whether they be House representatives, senators, governors, or what have you. But we really should give this a consideration. Now, as I get into the words of our framers, these men that were debating the Constitution, the one question that I have and I ask you to consider, are the words that I'm reading, are these the words of lies and deceit in trying to get and basically dupe the states into buying into a constitution, pulling the wool over their eyes? Or are these the words of honesty and the words that we've been learning from our education and our progressives and the news media and everybody else? Are those the words of deceit and lies because what they tell us conflicts directly with what we read out of these documents? Who's lying and what is there to gain in the lying and deceit? Just something for you to ponder. Now, this is Madison. This is on June 5th. And this is what he says. He says, "But the honorable member sees great danger in the provision concerning the militia. This I conceive to be an additional security to our liberty without diminishing the power of the states in the considerable degree. It appears to me so highly expedient that I should imagine it would have found advocates even in the warmest friends of the present system. The authority of the training the militia, the appointing the officers, is reserved to the states. Congress ought to have the power to establish a uniform discipline throughout the states and to provide for the execution of the laws, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. These are the only cases wherein they can interfere with the militia. And the obvious necessity of having power over them in these cases must convince any reflecting mind. Without uniformity of discipline, military bodies would be incapable of action, without a general controlling power to call forth the strength of the Union to repel invasions, the country might be overrun and conquered by foreign enemies. Without such a power to suppress insurrections, our liberties might be destroyed by domestic factions and domestic tyranny be established. Now, I know that they were real advocates for the First Amendment, but they weren't advocates for people that were literally trying to use mechanisms of bypassing our system of laws, such as communism and socialism, because they're not looking to amend the Constitution. They're looking to put it aside. They're looking to bypass the processes in the Constitution. And in doing so, they are deliberately violating our laws. That is what you would call a domestic faction and domestic tyranny. If you understand that these people that are deliberately coming here, that are trying to bypass our legal immigration system and demand access, that, my friends, is literally an invasion. What the federal government should be doing is it should be calling up the militia. But unfortunately, nobody has been following the concepts. And I'll even point this out. If you understand how they talked about the militia as how they were to regulate the militia, they were very specific in the few things that they were able to do. If you go and you look at commerce and the concept of regulating commerce, the term regulate back in those days, it really meant to put in good order. And as I was just talking to Captain Carl, the light he shined on that is pretty much the it's spot on. Because if you understand a regulator for your water system for your house, you have a, you know, pressure regulator to make sure that the water pressure throughout your house is uniform. That is all the federal government was to do, is to make sure that things were properly flowing, that there weren't restrictions, there weren't bottlenecks and or points. And more specifically, those bottlenecks being where states put advantages or disadvantages against other states. A good example of that is, let's say there's a state in the union that wants to be really picky and, you know, say, we want your cars to have certain functions and capabilities, and we're not going to sell your cars. We're not going to allow you to bring your cars into our state, and we won't even allow our own citizens to buy those cars unless they meet our standards. That's a violation of the Commerce Clause, because one state can't dictate how products are supposed to be made. And my friends, it's been happening since, what, the late 60s, early 70s, as California started using EPA standards to hold against Detroit and all of the car manufacturers to say, you have to produce a car of this kind of standard. If California wanted to have cars built to a very specific specification and had those cars sold and only those cars sold within that state, then they would have to start manufacturing those cars. Because I can understand the fact that they can regulate, or I should say, they can manage their people in what they can buy and what have you, and or put taxes on them for making sure that they meet those standards. But they can't do that to the companies. They can't ban those companies from bringing those cars in. However, if they were making their own, then they could actually start dictating that those cars be made that way. And that's about it. The Commerce Clause does not give one state any advantage over that. And so when you look at the difference of how they go into details regarding the militia and how it's to be regulated, very specifically, understanding that the Constitution's an enumerated constitution and not a general constitution, if the details aren't there, that doesn't mean that they have a general power over all commerce, every whit. That is, that there's no evidence of that. The evidence is that they were to make sure that commerce would flow as freely as possible, that states would not pitch, you know, one state against another in trying to take advantage, or a few states take advantage of other few states or what have you. And that's actually what happened with the Civil War. They were violating the Commerce Clause by putting tariffs and so forth on the South. Anyway, I've got a hard break. I'm going to be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so one of the things that I know this is a little departure from militias, but this jumped out at me because I've had a lot of conversations with people regarding direct tax and the conversation of direct tax during the ratification debates. A lot of people go, oh, the federal government didn't have the ability to direct tax. And I go, absolutely. It was a huge contention, and the states lost that contention because they could tax the states directly. I guess it all depends on what and how you define direct tax. But on June 10th, John Marshall replied to James Monroe, because James Monroe was an anti-federalist at the time, and he was basically saying that, you know, this is an abomination to our principles. That's what James Monroe was kind of doing. And so this is what John Marshall said on June 10th, 1788, during the Virginia ratification debates. He says, "The objects of direct tax are well understood. They are but few. What are they? Lands, slaves, stock of all kinds, and a few other articles of domestic property. You can believe that 10 men selected from all parts of the states, chosen because they know the situation of the people, will be unable to determine so as to make the tax equal on and convenient for the people at large. Does any man believe that they would lay the tax without the aid of other information besides their own knowledge? When they know that the very object for which they are elected is to lay the tax in a judicious and convenient manner, if they wish to retain affections of the people at large, they will not inform themselves of every circumstance that can throw light on the subject? Have they been sources of information? besides their own experience, their knowledge of what will suit their constituents. They will have the benefit of the knowledge and experience of the state legislature. They will see in what manner the legislature of Virginia collects its tax. They will be unable to follow their example, or I should say, will they be unable to follow their example? The gentlemen who have been delegated to Congress will have every source of information that the legislatures of the states can have and can lay the taxes as equally on the people and with as little oppression as they can. If then it be admitted that they can understand how to lay them equally and conveniently, are we to admit that they will not do it, but that in violation of every principle that ought to be governed, that ought to govern men, they will lay them so as to oppress us? What benefit will they have by it? Will it be promotive of their reelection? Not. Will it be wantonly imposing hardships and difficulties on the people at large? They will promote their own interest and secure their re-election. To me, it appears incontrovertible that they will settle them in such a manner as to be easy for the people. There was a huge stink and a lot of fur flew over the fact that, you know, direct tax was in the Constitution. And when I talk to people today, they go, no, there's no. And that's precisely the language that they use. They were talking about direct tax, but not direct tax to the people. They put apportionments of tax out to the states. And like he's saying, they really tried to follow the same mechanisms of what they were taxing at that point in time. And so getting back to that kind of paradigm would be very interesting, wouldn't it? Because if you look at how the government collected revenues from the states and getting back to that, that would be a pretty sweet thing. I think that we'd be in far better shape and we would be able to actually go back to developing wealth and everything else as a nation. But I digress. Here's another comment from James Madison. This is on the 11th of June in 1788. And he says, "The House of Representatives is not chosen by the state governments, but under the influence of those who compose the state legislatures. Let us suppose 10 men appointed to carry the government into effect." Now, I had to go back and read this again. "The House of Representatives is not chosen by the state governments, but the influence of those who compose the state legislators. Let us suppose 10 men appointed to carry the government into effect. There is every degree of certainty that they would be indebted for their re-election to the members of the legislators. If they derive their appointment from them, will they not execute their duty to them? Besides this, will not the people, whose predominant interest will ultimately prevail, feel great attachment to their state legislators? They have the care of all local interests." This is fascinating how the whole concept of this federalism was really centered at the states, the state legislators, and so forth, and that was their paradigm. But anyway, I go on. "Those familiar domestic objects for which men have the strongest predilection, the general government, on the contrary, has the preservation of the aggregate interest of the Union. Objects which, being less familiar and more remote from men's notice, have a less powerful influence on their minds. Do we not see great and natural attachments arising from local considerations? This will be the case in such a stronger degree in the state governments than the general government. The people will be attached to their state legislatures from a thousand causes and into whatever scale the people at large will throw themselves, that scale will preponderate." And it's interesting because this was very similar to a Federalist paper. I don't have it in front of me, but Madison talks about how when there becomes disputes between the federal government and the state government, He makes the point in the Federalist paper that the state governments will always have the interest of their people at, you know, the best interest for them and so forth, that the federal government would be, you know, at a disadvantage. Based on the system that they gave us, that is absolutely correct, because the federal government does not have any enumerated powers to be able to use the public purse in creating an affluence or any type of reach and impact and or relationships with the people directly. However, because they began violating the Constitution in the housing and urban development, welfare, health care, and all of these things, they're using the public purse in buying this affinity or this relationship with the people. And so they have actually been, if you want to say successful, they've been violating the Constitution successfully in literally moving us towards, and I'm going to use this term, the Tytler Circle of Democracy. If you understand Alexander Tytler's 200-year cycle of democracy, it starts off with this limited government. And as soon as the people realize that they can start voting for things that benefit them, it takes about 200 years for the collapse of the system. At least that was the theory. And I believe that theory came out in like the 1780s, 1790s, right around the same time that the framers were, you know, instituting this. And so one can actually understand that they understood that they put into place, and actually I believe that Tytler's cycle of democracy was a little bit before the Constitutional Convention. And there's no doubt that the framers literally did give us a system that kept that from happening. The only thing that was dependent on the success of keeping that from happening was that we had men of honor and character that would comply to those limitations of the Constitution. More importantly, as Madison and Hamilton in the Federalist Papers pointed out, that the states would have to jealously guard these powers that the federal government isn't supposed to have, that the state governments do have. They're supposed to guard them with jealousy and create barriers to keep them from being able to suck up those powers and be able to bypass and marginalize the state governments. And that's how we've gotten into the mess that we're in. I know I've read some of these other things, so I won't redo all of those. But there is one Federalist paper that I honestly believe is just, I have to get into it because it kind of summarizes, as far as I'm concerned, the point of interest regarding the focus of the federal government versus the state government. And this is Federalist Paper number 45 with James Madison to this point. The powers delegated by the proposed Constitution to the federal government are few and defined. Those which are to remain to the state governments are numerous and indefinite. The former will be exercised principally on external objects as war, peace, negotiation, and foreign commerce, with which last the power of taxation will, for the most part, be connected. The powers reserved to the several states will extend to all the objects which, in the ordinary course of affairs, concern the lives, liberties, and properties of the people and the internal order, improvement, and prosperity of the state. And so I think that right there kind of sums up precisely, you know, how the federal government should be external, outward facing, and the state governments are supposed to be internal facing, and that relationship has been completely perverted. I'm out of time. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the republic, and I need your help. So keep on spreading the word. We'll be back tomorrow. God bless.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty.